إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. This is another lesson that we're having, reading from Kitab al-Ilm in the Jami' of Imam al-Bukhari رحمه الله تعالى. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make it beneficial for us and to implement that which we hear and to spread it to others. The last lesson that we had taken, we had mentioned the hadith of one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Uqbata ibn al-Harith, where he married a female and he was approached by an older female who informed him that she had breastfed him and the female which he had married, which obviously means that she is his sister. By way of suckling. So he was informed of this. He rode to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He traveled to the Prophet and he investigated about the affair, and then he separated from the female. And we mentioned the fawa'id of that hadith based on that which Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala had mentioned as a chapter title, and that is an individual traveling for knowledge because of an issue, because of an occurrence. And this was more specific than one of the previous chapters. The Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned the benefits of traveling to seek, or the merits of traveling to seek knowledge. And we mentioned previously that the ulama rahimahullah ta'ala, ulama of the past, were very diligent in traveling to seek knowledge, even if it was one mas'ala, even if it was one affair. And they did this based on the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever treads a path seeking knowledge, his path will be made easy for him to Jannah. So whether it is one affair, or whether it is several issues, the believer knows the importance of traveling to seek knowledge, and he understands by doing so, this will be one of the means why Allah Azza wa Jalla would make his path easy for him to Jannah. And this individual, Uqbata ibn al-Harith, he traveled from Mecca to Al-Madinah. He traveled from Mecca to Al-Madinah to verify this from, or to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pertaining to this affair. The following hadith, which is related to individuals taking turns to seek knowledge. And in this hadith, Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala mentions, where he says, حَدَّثْنَا أَبُو الْيَمَانِ, and he is al-Hakim bin Nafi', قَالَ أَخْبَرْنَا شُعَيْبِ عَنِ الزُّهْرِي Muhammad ibn Ubaidillah ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, قَالَ أَبُو عَبْدُ اللَّهِ يعني al-Bukhari, يعني ha, he mentioned ha, يعني he mentioned, in this isnad, he's mentioning two isnads, rahimahullah ta'ala, wa qala ibn Wahab, akhbarna Yunus, he's ibn Yazid, and ibn Shihab also. Yani Az-Zuhri and ibn Shihab, they're both the same individuals. And Ubaidillah ibn Abdullah ibn Abi Thawr, and Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, and Umar. So we have a Sahabi narrating from a Sahabi. We have Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma narrating from Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And the scholars say that Ibn Abbas, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma was very young. So many of the narrations he heard from other companions. Many of the narrations that Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma he heard from other companions. And there are a great number of hadith that he did not hear directly from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But does he have to say that Abu Bakr informed me, or Umar informed me, or so and so? No, he doesn't have to say that, because the Sahaba, all of them are trustworthy. All of them are trustworthy and truthful. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he doesn't have to say which companion informed him. Why? Because all of them are trustworthy and the narrations are accepted from all of them. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he mentioned, كنت أنا وجار من الأنصار في بني أمية بن زيد وهي من أوالي المدينة. He's informing that he had an individual from amongst the Ansar who was his neighbor, and he lived in the area which is Awali, and it is still considered Awali today. Even in fact, some of the Mashaykh, while we were studying in Medina, they lived in that area, like the likes of Sheikh Ubaid, Habibullah Ta'ala, he used to live in that area. Even Sheikh Rabi' bin Hadi, he used to also live in that area. And it is close to the Haram. وَكُنَّ نَتَنَاوَبُ النُّزُولَ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. We used to take turns sitting with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. يَنْزِلُ يَوْمًا وَأَنْزِلُ يَوْمًا. One day my neighbor goes, and one day I go. فَإِذَا نَزَلْتُ جِئْتُهُ بِخَبَرِ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ مِنَ الْوَحْيِ وَغَيْرِهِ. If it was my turn, I would return later on at night, and I would inform my companion, meaning my neighbor, I would inform him of that which I heard from revelation and other than revelation, meaning the Qur'an and other than the Qur'an. From the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from his dealings, from the halal, from the haram, from his admonitions. So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu and his neighbor from amongst the Ansar, they used to take turns benefiting from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the reason why they used to do so, as Allah tabaraka ta'ala said, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَأَحْسِنُوا كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, and do not forget your portion of the dunya, and be good just as Allah Ta'ala has been good to you. So the way of the companions, or many of the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would combine between supporting their family and gaining Islamic knowledge, and gaining Islamic knowledge. So at times, also, they used to take turns. One day Umar would work, and one day he would benefit from the Prophet. The following day his neighbor would work, and the following day he would benefit from the Prophet. And when they would come together at night, they would inform each other of that which they benefited from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which shows you that it is legislated for an individual to have some type of tanzeem, some type of order, some type of schedule when it comes to seeking knowledge, and that he should assist himself. He should assist himself in gaining more knowledge by using the help of a companion or more. By using the help of a companion or more. It is possible that individuals, and we can, this is endless, the amount of ideas and action plans that can be mentioned are endless. When you might have an individual, مثلاً, and we've mentioned this in the past, but مثلاً, you might have females that are brothers, or females, I would say females, because taking care of the children, they want to attend a conference. There's a conference, there's some lectures going on in the masjid, and they want to attend those lessons. But many of them have children, and the children are very disturbing at times when it comes, especially the young children, when it comes to seeking the knowledge. So they come together and they say, we take turns. They're two sisters, we take turns. On one Saturday, I attend and you babysit the kids. And you babysit the children. And I return home with my notes. And at night when the children go to bed, we get together if they're neighbors, we get together in your house, or we get together in my house, and we share each other's notes, and I benefit you that which I've benefited from the lesson. And that's just one example, and the examples are endless. And the fact that Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu and his companion, which is his neighbor, they took time and they came up with a plan. How can we benefit the most from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and at the same time supporting our families? At the same time supporting our families, then this is one of the ways, or one of the plans that they came up with. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu went on to say, وَإِذَا نَزَلَ فَعَلَ مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ. And when my companion went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did the same thing, meaning he came to me at night, we sat down, we discussed, he benefited me with that which he heard from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَنَزَلَ صَاحِبِي الْأَنصَارِ يَوْمَ نَوْبَتِهِ فَضَرَبَ بِبَابِ ضَرْبًا شَدِيدٍ. One day when my companion had benefited from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he returned home and he hit my door. He knocked on my door with force. فَقَالَ أَثَمَّهُ فَفُزِعْتُ فَخَرَجْتُ إِلَيْهِ. I said, and it was said, are you, he said, are you home? I was very shocked. I came out. فَقَالَ قَدْ حَدَثَ أَمْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. My nephew said, something tremendous has taken place. قَالَ فَدَخَلْتُ عَلَى حَفْسَةَ. Umar ibn Khattab, and he's summarizing it. His companion told him what took place. And that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had migrated from his wives, and he had left his wives for a period of time. So Umar ibn Khattab, and obviously one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Hafsa, the daughter of Umar. So Umar went to his daughter, فَإِذَا هِيَ تَبْكِي. She was crying. فَقُلْتُ طَلَّقَكُنَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Umar said, did the Prophet divorce you? Then he divorced all of you. كُنَّ طَلَّقَكُنَّ. The Prophet ﷺ divorced you. فَقَالَتْ لَا أَدْرِي. She said, I don't know. ثُمَّ دَخَلْتُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. I went to the Prophet. فَقُلْتُ وَأَنَا قَائِمْ أَطَلَّقْتَ النِّسَاءَكْ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. He said, have you divorced your wives? قَالَ لَا. The Prophet ﷺ responded in the negative. فَقُلْتُ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ. Umar ibn Khattab said, glory be to Allah. So in this hadith, the point of the hadith, or the benefit that Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala wants to derive in this hadith, is the beginning of the hadith, and that is that me and one of my companions, we used to take turns seeking knowledge from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And indeed, this hadith, from the benefits of the hadith, is that it is legislated that an individual has some type of order in seeking knowledge. It is likewise legislated that the individual uses the assistance of his companions, of his neighbors. Likewise, from the benefits of the hadith, it is an actual implementation or a practical implementation of the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Where Allah Ta'ala says, join together in righteousness and piety, and do not join together in sin and transgression. This is an actual implementation of that ayat in the Quran. And likewise, from the benefits of the hadith, is that you have a companion narrating from another companion. You have a companion narrating from another companion. These were some of the benefits of the hadith. And likewise, from the benefits of the hadith, it shows you the diligence of the Sahaba. The diligence of the Sahaba in seeking knowledge from our beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So much so, they realize, and that's the reality, if you can't get all of it, get some of it. If you can't get all of it, get some of it. It's possible that an individual is not able, to attend all of the lessons. So what does he do? He divides the lessons between, and he makes a schedule. So this hadith shows you, this action of Umar ibn Khattab, it shows you how serious they took the knowledge. So I can't attend all the lessons, but you know what? What I'm going to do is, I'm going to get with my neighbor, I'm going to get with my Muslim brother, and we're going to come up with some sort of plan so that we can both benefit. And another idea, which I believe that you might have some individuals, I believe I've heard this, that you might have some individuals, Mathana, who say that my neighbor or my Muslim brother and I, my companion, we want to benefit. We want to learn Arabic, but it's very difficult to support our families. So they come up with an actual plan and they say, listen, in Egypt, Mathana, we can travel to Egypt and we can stay there for a year to learn at least a good portion, at least a portion of Arabic.
So
they say, they come together and they say, okay, مثلاً, I'm going to work. I would work first. I would stay in England. I would stay in America, and I would work for 1 year. And you and your wife, you travel. مثلاً, you work for 6 months, and you and your wife with your kids, you travel to Egypt. When you're in Egypt, the money that you've saved for 6 months, you use on your apartment, you use on your books, you use on whatever, your food. After 6 months, or 3 months, or whatever, or 2 months, if your money runs out, I will send you money from England. I will send you money from America. You should stay in Egypt for 1 year, or you should stay in Egypt for a year and a half. You and your family should be very diligent in learning Arabic. Should be very diligent in learning Quran and the likes. After you've stayed there for a year and a half, you return, and then it's my turn to go. I take my family to Egypt or to Yemen, to different Salafi Moroccans in Egypt, the different Salafi Moroccans in Yemen. I take my family to Yemen, and now you do the same. You work, you spend a portion of your wealth on your family, and when my money runs out, you spend a portion of your money on to help me, just like I helped you. And eventually what happens after 2-3 years, you have two families that have benefited in terms of learning Arabic and in terms of learning Quran. Now, the next hadith. باب الغضب في الموعظة والتعليم وإذا رأى ما يكره. This is the chapter of an individual who is a teacher displaying anger. This is the chapter of the individual displaying anger while he is preaching if he sees that which is disliking. If he sees that which is displeasing. قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى حدثنا محمد ابن كثير قال أخبرنا سفيان الثوري عن ابن أبي خالد عن قيس بن أبي حازم عن أبي مسعود الأنصاري and his name is عقبة بن عامر أبو مسعود الأنصاري عقبة ابن عامر قال رجل يا رسول الله a man came and said يا رسول الله لا أكاد أدرك الصلاة مما يطول بنا فلان. يا رسول الله, I can barely reach the prayer because of the lengthening of so and so of the prayer. Then عقبة ابن عامر, يعني أبو مسعود الأنصاري, he said, فما رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في موعدة أشد غضبا من يومئذ. He said, I had not seen the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم angry and furious while he was given an admonition or a lecture like I witnessed on that particular day. فَقَالَ أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّكُمْ مُنَقِّرُونَ The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Oh, you people, you are running others away. فَمَنْ صَلَّ بِالنَّاسِ فَلْيُخَفِّفْ So whoever prays and whoever leads the people in prayer, then let him shorten the prayer. فَإِنَّ فِيهِمُ الْمَرِيضَ وَالضَّعِيفَ وَذَا الْحَاجَةِ Because indeed behind him, فَإِنَّ فِيهَا In it, yani in the prayer, meaning behind you, are individuals who are sick, are individuals who are weak, and are individuals who have a need. From the benefits of the hadith, it's clear, the munasaba, or the relationship between the hadith and the chapter title is clear, that an individual being upset and furious while he's giving a lecture or an admonition. So we shouldn't say, مثلاً, and I'm just going to give you an example. If you come to Saudi, you see, it's possible, if you come to Saudi, you do not witness the ulama being so strong in terms of them raising their voice or in terms of them becoming upset in an admonition or a lecture. It is rare. At times, you might get it, but in general, it is very rare. And walillah alhamd, after being in Saudi Arabia for more than 18 years and sitting with the ulama, you don't find it. But if you go to Yemen, and if you've heard, مثلاً, the rules, the previous... The recorded lesson of Sheikh Muqbil, it was common. It was something done by Sheikh Muqbil rahimahullah ta'ala, and likewise, it's something done by his students. But it is not for an individual. It is not for an individual mathalan who has studied in Saudi Arabia. It's not for an individual who has studied in Saudi Arabia, mathalan, and then he travels to Yemen, and he says, you know, their form of lecturing is strange, their form of lecturing is different. It's not something that I am accustomed to from the kibar al-ulama in Saudiya. So he makes that comment. He doesn't seek to belittle anyone. He doesn't seek to belittle anyone, but because he sees and he witnesses the way that was taught by Sheikh Muqbil, or the students of Sheikh Muqbil, such as the likes of Sheikh Muhammad Imam and others, he says, yani, this they scream when they give their lectures, this is something strange, this is something I'm not accustomed to. But in fact, that they're implementing the Sunnah. But in fact, they are implementing the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it was something done by our beloved messenger. Yani, the way that Sheikh Muqbil rahimahullah ta'ala taught lessons by raising his voice, it was something that was done by the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it has its ta'thir. It has its effect on the listener. It has its effect on the listener. So just because it is not common, or it's not commonly implemented by the senior ulama in Saudi Arabia, does not mean it's a hujjah upon everyone else. No. The ulama in Saudi Arabia, they have their manner of teaching, and at times they do. Mathalan, Sheikh Saleh al-Fawzan, Habibullah Ta'ala, at times during his Jumu'ah khutbah, he does raise his voice. But in general, it's not something common in Saudi Arabia. So a person studying from the ulama in Saudi Arabia and then going to Yemen and witnessing it, he should not feel that this is something which is strange. No, it is something which is the Sunnah. It is something which is the Sunnah, although it is not every time to be done. And Sheikh Muqbil rahimahullah ta'ala, it wasn't that he did it every time, but in many of his lectures, it was from his manner, and he received that from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is implementing the Sunnah of the beloved messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, in this hadith, from the benefits of the hadith is that we find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very diligent in bringing the people together. He was very diligent in bringing the people together, and he did not want any of his companions to be from amongst those who run the people away. He did not want any of his companions to be from those who run the people away. So indeed, we should benefit from this type of character, and we should not be individuals, not in our statements, nor in our actions. And I will say that again. We should not be individuals in our statements, nor in our actions, the type of people who run individuals away. We want to bring the people together upon Tawheed, and we want to bring the people together upon the Sunnah. So we see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, an act of ibadah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is admonishing the individual who is elongating the prayer in order to not run people away. In order to not run people away, وَلَقَدْ كَانَ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Verily, you have. كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Verily, you have in the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam the best example. The best example. And in fact, this hadith, or similar to this hadith, took place with other individuals as well. This is not the same hadith of one of the other companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have one of the other companions who used to elongate. He used to pray Isha with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he used to go to his tribe, which was on the outskirts of Medina, and he would pray Salatul Isha with them, and he would elongate the prayer. And he would elongate the prayer. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during that time, one of the individuals who was old, he left the prayer and continued it by himself, and then he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he continued by himself and he left the prayer, one of the companions was approached who was leading the prayer and said, this person left the prayer. He says, لا أراه إلا منافق. I do not see that he has left the prayer except that he is possibly a hypocrite. Except that he is possibly a hypocrite. When this news reached the man went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and complained. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called that companion, and he said, "Afatanun ya Mu'ad." He said, "Are you causing fitna? Are you causing fitna?" Verily, if you pray, then understand, then shorten the prayer, because behind you is such and such and such and such and such and such, just like this hadith. But these are two different stories. These are two different stories, as is mentioned by the people of hadith. As is mentioned by the people of hadith. Likewise, it shows you the tolerance of Islam and the mercy of Islam, that it's that Allah Azza wa Jal would legislate the shortening of ibadah for the needs of the people. Allah Azza wa Jal would legislate the shortening of ibadah for the needs of the people. Because here, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a sick person, an old person, and a person in need. And a person in need. So it shows you the mercy of Islam toward its followers, toward the people. And likewise, مثلاً, and you have many examples, يعني, if a person was to write, and this might be a good project, if an individual was to write ayat from the Qur'an, gather ayat from the Qur'an, and narration from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that shows you the mercy of Islam toward its followers, it would be a voluminous or a lengthy book. Why? Why? Because there's many, مثلاً, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shortened the prayer for a musafir, for the traveler, that shows you that when the that shows you the qaida al mushaqqa tajlibu taysir. When there is more difficulty involved, this allows for ease. This allows for ease, which is a general qaida, which is a general principle in Islam, and we see that principle in this hadith. We see that mentioned in this hadith. Now, so these were some of the things that were mentioned in this hadith. In the next hadith, and the reason why it's related to knowledge is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is because our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching. He's teaching. So it's not that the only benefit is that it's permissible for the individual to raise his voice and become upset when he's in the likes. No, but it's also because he's teaching sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another thing which Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar rahimahullah ta'ala shed some light on, and that is the teacher, when he's teaching something, it's permissible for him to be furious, it's permissible for him to be angry when he's teaching, it's permissible for him to raise his voice, but for the judge, it's not permissible for the judge to give a ruling when he's upset. It's not permissible for the judge to give a ruling when he's upset, because it's possible his anger would allow him or might persuade him to judge incorrectly or unjustly. Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned this when he explains this hadith. Now, the next hadith, حَدَثْنَا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ بِنْ مُحَمَّدْ قَالَ حَدَثْنَا عَبُوْ عَامِرْ قَالَ حَدَثْنَا سُلَيْمَانْ بِنْ بَلَالَ الْمَدِينِ عَنْ رَبِيعَ ابْنَ أَبِي عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ, and we've mentioned him in the past, عَنْ يَزِيدْ مَوْلَى الْمُنْبَعِثِ عَنْ زَيْدْ بِنْ خَالِدَ الْجُحَنِي أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, and the Sahabi Zayd ibn Khalid al-Juhani radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and this hadith is long, and we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and it's Sudasi. This is a long isnad. The hadith is not long, but it is a long isnad, it's a Sudasi. And we know that the shortest isnad in Sahih al-Bukhari is al-Thulafi, is three people between Imam al-Bukhari and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, in this hadith, an individual came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked about something which was lost. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, when he heard the statement of the individual, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, where he says, أعرف وكاءها أو قال وعاءها وإفاصها ثم عرفها سنة ثم استمتع بها. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, when the person asked him about something which was lost, he said, recognize and get acquainted with its tying material and its container, and make a public announcement about it for 1 year. Then utilize it. So if you find, methadone, if you find a wallet with some cash in it, you should become acquainted with how much cash is in the wallet. And this is called luqa, the ahkam of the luqa, the ahkam or the rulings pertaining to lost materials or valuable things which are lost, or the lost and found. You become acquainted with what's inside of it. If it's money, how much is it? What type of currency is it? How many ones, how many fives, and the likes of that? And then you make a general announcement. Not in the masjid, but outside of the masjid in the neighborhood, you make a general announcement, you put a piece of paper, whoever lost a wallet with a sum of money, notice I'm saying a general announcement. You don't say the exact amount of money, you know, but you say whoever lost a wallet with a sum of money, please call this number. If the individual, and you have to do that for 1 year, you have to do it for 1 year. If the individual contacts you, you say to him, how much money? How much money? If he says the exact amount, you say, what was the currency? If he says, well, I think I had it, several fives, several ones, and the likes of that. If he's close to it, you give him the money. But if the year goes by, and the individual has not claimed the cash, or people have claimed the cash, but they have not given anywhere close to the exact amount, then it becomes permissible for you to use it. It becomes permissible for you to use it. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, ثُمَّ اسْتَمْتَعْ بِهَا فَإِنْ جَاءَ رَبُّهَا فَأَدِّهَا إِلَيْهِ. So after 1 year, it becomes permissible for you to use it. If thereafter, let's say after 2 years, a person calls you up and said, ah, you know, or even if it's not a brother, if it's a kafir, excuse me, so-and-so, someone informed me that about a year ago, you had placed an announcement about money or something like that. It was my money and this was the amount. If he comes thereafter, you have to give it to him. Even if you used it, you have to give it to him. According to this hadith, قال فضلة الإبل. This individual, when after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to him what is the ruling about lost property, then he said, "What about a lost camel?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "It's no concern to you." And at this moment, the narrator mentioned that it became apparent that the Prophet was getting upset with him, maybe because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt this individual was asking for just for the purpose of wasting time, or just for the purpose of asking about things that had no real benefit and the likes of that. So the Prophet said, for whatever reason, he became upset and his face became red. So the individual said, okay, what about, and we know that during the time of Musa, you had individuals that came to Musa from amongst the Yahud, and they said, when Allah told them to slaughter something, they said, you know, what about its color, and what about this, and what about that? So the fact, although here we have companions of the Prophet ﷺ, and it would never be expected that the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, those who Allah chose to accept his revelation ﷺ, or the revelation from Allah to his Prophet and from his Prophet to the companions, this would never be said anything evil or ill about the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. But for some reason, the Prophet ﷺ became upset with the questioning of that individual. The Prophet ﷺ became upset with the questioning of that individual. So he said, what about the camel who is lost? The Prophet ﷺ said, you have no concern. It doesn't concern you. The camel, it has its water pouch or its water bag on its back. The camel has its feet. It can walk to the trees. And it can eat. It can survive. Leave the camel. It has something that doesn't concern you. Then the individual said, but what about the sheep? The Prophet ﷺ said, if you don't take the sheep, then either the wolf will take the sheep, or you will take the sheep to eat it, or its owner would find it. The Prophet ﷺ became upset with the questioning of this individual. And so this was that hadith. The Prophet ﷺ was upset and became frustrated with the questioning of this individual. The next hadith, حدثنا محمد أبو or محمد ابن علا and he's أبو كريب قال حدثنا أبو سامة عن بريد عن أبي بردة عن أبي موسى يعني أبي موسى العشري and أبي بردة is the son of أبي موسى العشري. So here we have a son narrating from his father. And once again, أبو بردة, and his name is mentioned that his name is عامر or his name is حارث الحارث. He's narrating on أبو موسى العشري. And he is actually the son of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. And Abu Musa al-Ashari, who's the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his name is Abdullah bin Qais. Abdullah bin Qais. Qala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about things, su'ila al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an asha'a karihaha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about things that he disliked being asked about. Falamma ukthira alayhi ghadib. When the people continued to ask him, he became upset. It's possible that the Prophet thought that they were asking about things that were of no major benefit. So when they continued to ask him, he became upset. ثُمَّ قَالَ لِلنَّاسِ سَلُونِي عَمَّا شِئْتُمْ. Ask about whatever you want to ask about. The Prophet became frustrated, he became upset. He said, ask me about whatever you want to ask about. فَقَالَ رَجُلُ مَنْ أَبِي. A man said, who is my father? And it's mentioned that it's possible that this individual said that because maybe he was different in his complexion. He was different in his complexion, or his appearance, he did not resemble his father. So he had some doubt. He said, Ya Rasulullah, who is my father? Because verily, the Prophet does not lie. The Prophet does not lie. And here, the Prophet said, ask anything, I'm going to answer you. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, who is my father? And he said, your father is Hudhafa. Yani his father was his father, his actual father. And it's actually mentioned that this individual, when he said this, and he went home later on, people informed his mother. And his mother said, may Allah, you know, his mother admonished him, and said, what if I had done something, a'udhu billah, what if I had done something indecent? It would have been exposed in public. So his mother became very upset with him. فَقَالَ آخِرْ مَنْ أَبِي يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ قَالَ أَبُوكَ سَالِمْ مَوْلَى شَيْبَةً. فَلَمَّا رَأَى عُمَرُ مَا فِي وَجْهِهِ قَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنَّا نَتُوبِ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزُّ وَجَلَّ. Umar, who was present with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he realized that the Prophet was upset. He realized that the Prophet was frustrated. He said, Ya Rasulullah, we repent to Allah. We repent to Allah. This hadith shows you the adab of the student with his sheikh. It shows you the etiquettes of the student with his scholar. And indeed, we are نحن في أمس الحاجة. Indeed, we are in dire need of reading and reviewing the etiquettes of a student with his scholar. Because as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مَا مِن زَمَنٍ إِلَّا وَالَّذِي بَعْدُهُ أَشَرُّ مِنْهُ. There is no time except the latter is worse. And indeed, we are living in a time where some students, and may Allah forgive us, and we may be from amongst them, where some students, they do not give the rights to their scholars as they should be given. They do not give the rights to their scholars as they should be given. And because of that, we find, because of this reality, or because of the tremendous importance of having etiquette with the scholar, we find the scholars of the past wrote books about this. And from those books, from the best of those books is Tadhkirat al-Sami' wal-Mutakallam by Ibn Jama'a al-Kinani. Tadhkirat al-Sami' wal-Mutakallam. It is a wonderful book. It is a wonderful book written by one of the Salaf during the time of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah about the etiquette of the student and his teacher. The etiquette of the student and his teacher. Also, you have the book written by Imam al-Ajurri, Adab al-Ulama, or Akhlaq al-Ulama, the characteristics of the scholars. And in that book, he also mentions the characteristics of the students. And likewise, and you can keep on going on, مثلاً, you have the books of Khatib al-Baghdadi. You have the books of Imam Khatib al-Baghdadi, rahimullah ta'ala, who died the same year as Ibn Abdul Barr al-Qurtubi. They were two scholars who lived at the same time, major scholars of Islam, Khatib al-Baghdadi and Ibn Abdul Barr. And Ibn Abdul Barr likewise. Ibn Abdul Barr, he has the book Jami' fi Bayan al-Ilm wa Fadlihi. Al-Jami' fi Bayan al-Ilm wa Fadlihi. Ibn Abdul Barr has the book, The Compilation of Knowledge and Its Merits of Knowledge. And in that book, he mentions, and it's a wonderful book, he mentions the etiquette of a student of knowledge. And he died the same year as Khatib al-Baghdadi. Khatib al-Baghdadi, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentioned in many of his books the etiquette of a student of knowledge and the etiquette of a scholar. And going from the time of the Salaf to the time of the present-day scholars, مثلاً you have Hilyat Talib al-Ilm by Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd, rahimahullah ta'ala. He had a wonderful book on the etiquette of a student of knowledge. And to show you the importance of that book, it was explained by one of the present-day scholars who is of greater knowledge, but he explained that book, and that is Sheikh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen. Sheikh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he explained Hilyat Talib al-Ilm by Baqir Abu Zayd. Even though Baqir Abu Zayd, it's well known, he was of less knowledge than Sheikh Uthaymeen. But Sheikh Uthaymeen, when he noticed the benefits of that book, he took his time and he explained that book in Unayza. He explained that book in Unayza. So these are some of the books of the past and the books of the present of the etiquette of a student with regards to his sheikh. And the next hadith, so that was the hadith. That was the hadith of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, Abdullah bin Qais, where he mentioned the etiquette of a student with his scholar, and the relationship between the hadith and the title chapter is the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became upset and he continued to teach. The next chapter is an individual, bab man baraka ala rukbatayhi and al imam aw al muhaddith, is the chapter of an individual, yani a student going on his knees in front of the teacher or the muhaddith. And this hadith is actually the same hadith or similar to the hadith that preceded it. But in this hadith, Umar went on to his knees. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not go on his knees in terms of ibadah. He did not go on his knees in terms of ibadah, but he went on his knees similar to who? Similar to Jibreel. When Jibreel فَأَسْنَدَ رُكْبَتَيْهِ إِلَى رُكْبَتَيْهِ وَوَدَعَ كَفَّيْهِ عَلَى فَخِذَيْهِ, Jibreel went on his knees and brought his knees close to the Prophet. That was the action of Umar ibn al-Khattab when he saw that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upset. And in this narration, Umar said, رَدِينَ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ نَبِيًّا. And then the Prophet ﷺ was quiet after that. And Umar ibn Khattab, he said, Ya Rasulullah, we are pleased with Allah as our Lord, we are pleased with Islam as our religion, and we are pleased with you as our messenger. And this statement is actually similar to another hadith. And that is the hadith of Abi Sa'id al-Khudri, which is reported in Sahih Muslim, where it took place that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ya Aba Sa'id, man radiya billahi rabban wa bil islami deenan wa bi muhammadin nabiyyan wajabat lahu al jannah. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, O Abu Sa'id, whoever is pleased with Allah as his Lord and with Islam as his religion and with Muhammad as his messenger, then Jannah is guaranteed for him. Then Jannah is guaranteed for him. So this hadith, actually, the statement of Umar, was something to show that, Ya Rasulullah, we are pleased. Allah suffices us. Allah is our Lord, you are our Prophet, our religion, we are pleased with Islam is our religion. Please don't continue to answer these questions. Please don't continue to answer his questions. Likewise, it shows the adab or the manners of the student with his teacher. The next chapter, Bab. Man a'ad al-haditha thalathan yufham anhu, who repeats the hadith three times so that it can be understood from him. And this is also, and in this chapter, Imam al-Bukhari is going to talk about one of the sunnahs, which is mahjura. Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, is going to talk about one of the ways of the Prophet, which is very rarely implemented. Naam. And then he says, فَقَالَ عَلَى وَقَوْلُ الزُّورِ فما زال يكررها وقال ابن عمر قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هل بلغت ثلاثا. يعني Imam al-Bukhari is mentioning excerpts of hadiths, and that is the first excerpt is where one time the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned things which were haram. He mentioned things which were haram, and the last thing he says, and giving a false testimony. And the Prophet ﷺ continued to say it. Even he was reclining, and he leaned up and he said, giving a false testimony to show you that it is something hated by Allah Azza wa Jal. Yani lying. Lying is something hated by Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, and actually in that narration, the Prophet ﷺ continued to say it until the Sahaba said, we wish that he would stop. Meaning, we wish that he would be quiet. Not that they hated or dislike, wa na'udhu billah, Not that they disliked the Prophet talking, or they were fed up with him, wa'na'udhu billah. No, but they wanted him to relax, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, also, he mentioned the narration of Ibn Umar, Hal ballaght, have I given the message? And this was in Hajjatul Wada'. This was in the farewell pilgrimage, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the sermon to the Sahaba. He gave the Khutbatul Eid, Khutbatul Arafah to the Sahaba, and in that he explained things which were haram, things which were halal. He forbid riba and the likes of that. And then the Prophet ﷺ said to the companions, have I given the message? Have I given the message? Have I given the message? Now, Imam al-Bukhari says, Rahimahullah ta'ala, haddathna Abda. And this is Abda ibn Abdullah, which is, yani, the name comes in the next narration. Qala haddathna Abdul Samad. Qala haddathna Abdullah bin al-Muthanna. And this Abdullah bin al-Muthanna is only in Sahih Bukhari. He's not in Muslim. قال حدثنا ثمامة ابن عبد الله عن أنس يعني this hadith is on Anas bin Malik رضي الله تعالى عنه who is one of the mukthirin. He's one of the individuals that has the most hadith from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and we know his mother Umm Sulaym, she was very diligent in having her son learn from the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, and she likewise was very knowledgeable in Islam. عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه كان إذا سلم سلم ثلاثا وإذا تكلم بكلمة أعادها ثلاثا. يعني Anas bin Malik, who was one of the young companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he gave salams to people, he would give it three times, and when he spoke, and when he gave lectures, he would say it three times. He would say it three times, and so this shows you one of the from the benefits of the hadith is to show you that the companions even used to take notice to how the Prophet spoke. They gave notice to how the Prophet spoke. And the Salaf understood that to mean the etiquettes of a student with a teacher, meaning the student should be so conscious of benefiting from his scholars that he even benefits in the manner of the scholar teaching. Or upon the manner of the scholar speaking. The manner of the scholar speaking. Now, so here we have Anas informing about how the Prophet spoke. And Imam al-Bukhari put that in the chapter of knowledge. Put that in the chapter of knowledge. Meaning, one of the things we derive is the student even takes notice of how his scholar speaks to people. Which is another benefit, and that is the scholar should be cautious of that which he says in the company of the people. Should be cautious of that which he says in the company of the people. And that's why you have from the likes of Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak or Abdul Rahman al-Awzad. Can't remember which one said it at this time. He said, we used to laugh in the company of the people until we noticed the people looking at us. So we noticed the people looking at us. فَتَرَقْنَا الضَّحَكَ. So we stopped laughing in the company of the people. The people look at everything you do. The people look at everything you do. The people look at everything you say, and they look at how you say it. It's important for the teacher. It's important for the caller to be conscious of his actions and his statements. To be conscious of his actions and his statements. Likewise, some benefits of the hadith is that we have one of the sunnah al-mahjur. We have one of the sunnahs which is migrated, and that is, or which is abandoned in our present time, and that is that you give salams, and not that you have to do it all of the time, but from time to time, especially in a gathering, if you give salams, it is legislated that you do it three times. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. And it was done by our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if he spoke three times so the people can understand, so the people can hear. Now, as it's going to be mentioned, mentioned in the title chapter. The title chapter, so that the people can understand. Well, I mean, the next hadith is similar. So we won't read it, the next hadith is similar. And that is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he gave salams, he would give salams three times, and when he spoke also three times. The following hadith, قال إمام البخاري رحمه الله تعالى حدثنا مسدد ابن مسرعد قال حدثنا أبو عوانة والضاح بن عبد الله اليشكري عن أبي بشر عن يوسف بن ماحك عن عبد الله بن عمرو ابن العاص عبد الله بن عمرو ابن العاص رضي الله تعالى عنهما who Abu Huraira said had more narrations than him. Abu Huraira said that عبد الله بن عمرو بن عاص had more narrations than him. Why? Because عبد الله بن عمرو بن عاص used to write and Abu Huraira did not. Used to write. قال تخلف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في سفر سافرناه فأدركناه وقد أرحقنا الصلاة صلاة العصر ونحن نتوضأ فجعلنا نمسه على أرجلنا فنادى بأعلى صوته ويل للعقاب من النار مرتين أو ثلاثة. And that's the point of the hadith. And Abdullah bin Amr bin Asir, we were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Salat al-Asr came upon us. We began to wipe our ankles, and in wudu, we began to make wudu and wipe our ankles. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam raised his voice and said, "Woe to your ankles from the hellfire," meaning wash them thoroughly. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this statement twice or three times, which shows you the relationship between the hadith and the title chapter. It is legislated that the teacher repeats himself more than once. And in fact, if you read in the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you find that many of the companions said, or you find that it is no wonder how they memorized so many hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because he used to repeat it several times. So when you're around the scholar, when you are around the scholar and he repeats, becomes implanted in your mind and in your heart. And in fact, we like to mention Sheikh Muqbil Rahimahullah Ta'ala because he's one of the greatest scholars of hadith of our time. And one of the Rabbaniyun, he's one of the teachers. One of the greatest teachers of our time, Sheikh Muqbil Rahimahullah Ta'ala, he would always mention the ilm al-rijal. He would always mention the chain of narrators and things about the chain of narrators. So if you studied at that time in his camp in Yemen, or even in the other camps that his other students are teaching in, you would benefit this greatly. You would benefit ilm al-rijal greatly because it was something that was constantly being mentioned. Being mentioned, and likewise the durus of Sheikh Abdul Muslim al-Abbad. If you sat with him for 2, 3, 4 years, you would find that when you hear a narrator, it's easy for you to know his name and something about him, because day after day, Sheikh Abdul Muslim teaches 6 days a week. And you hear this year after year, so it becomes implanted within you. Likewise, when you sit with the ulama, and they're teaching tawheed, and they're teaching the sunnah, and they're teaching the narrations of the Salaf, it's possible you don't even write it down, but you memorize it. Why? Because they repeat it over and over again. So this is that which we benefited from the hadith, and that is when you repeat something or you're teaching the people, you can repeat it twice or three times or even more. Likewise, we benefit from this hadith, raising the voice, as we mentioned. Raising the voice so that the people can hear you, and so that the people, it would have a greater impact when the people listen to that which the scholar is teaching. On that point, we will stop, and inshallah, next week we will continue with our reading from the Book of Knowledge from Sahih al-Bukhari, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Just inform, next week's lesson may be the last lesson, because after that I will be traveling. So I will discuss it with the brothers at islam.ae, and we will discuss what we will do, but it's possible that next week will be the last lesson until I return from my journey after 1 month, and Allah knows best. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam, barakallahu fi nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslima.